Welcome along to the Rugby Pass podcast. It is Thursday, 21st of July, New Zealand time, as we head into the playoffs. Super Rugby playoffs. Joining us, crowd goes wild, reporter, raconteur, general all-round good guy, James McConey. Welcome, James.
Thanks very much, Scotty. Great to be here. Had quite a bit of luck with the parking in the end.
Great.
You recommended a building, but I don't like them. And I went old school and found a meter, and it's not too bad at all.
What's the whole thing with you and car parking buildings?
I just find them restrictive. I mean, it's weird that your radio reception straight away goes. There's something weird going on in
only
there.
Only AM, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, FM unaffected.
Okay, right. Yeah. Obviously, I'm listening to Radio Sport on the way here, trying to swat up on what the hell are we going to talk about?
Well, I'm going to start with something right up your alley, actually. This week, the Chiefs, your team, Chiefs Mana.
Yes.
Applied to Sanzar for a special dispensation to allow Liam Messam to stay with the squad for the playoffs. For those who don't know, Liam Messam is arguably the greatest chief of all time, a centurion, twice recipient of the grand final player of the match medal.
Yes.
He's as Super Rugby as they come. He didn't sign up for Super Rugby this year because he tried to make the Olympic side for New Zealand, for Rio. Missed the cut, came back. Chiefs picked him up on the back of a whole raft of injuries. Mm. Played two games, not enough, says Sanzar. No dispensation for you. Discuss.
Oh, disgusting. There's no doubt that he should. They've unveiled a loophole here because Messam is clearly he was going to play Super Rugby if it wasn't for his opportunity to play sevens. So they need to work that out. Otherwise, it's going to discourage lots of people from wanting to even, try out now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, there is a cut. It's harsh. He didn't make it. Kurt Baker didn't make it, who'd played all this. He's been one of our stalwarts, one of our great sevens players. Mm-hmm. So I think it's totally fair that you come back to the franchise where, you've plied your trade for so many years. But I guess there's a reason for that, and it's like the classic thing of being cup-tied in football where you can't just sign a whole lot of great players because you've made the FA Cup final or semi-final.
Yeah, and I agree with that, and it's the Scott Brits law. And,
yes.
And this came in. Ironically, the Stormers have had four players cleared, although, according to Sanzar rules, because those players were on the roster before the season started, doesn't matter if they've played their four games, mandatory four games or not, they can play through the playoffs. But my point about the Liam Messam situation is this guy isn't helicoptering in from a different competition.
No.
And now he is...
Well, he is.
Well,
Japan, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah. But he wasn't playing in Japan. He came back. Mm. He's been trying out for his country for the Olympic Games, rugby's greatest moment of the last 50 years, potentially. And this is punitive. These guys were told when they went in and they trialled for the New Zealand team to go to the Olympics that they would not be penalised. This is a massive penalty on Liam Messam. I know Sanzar aren't the ones who cut him, but it sticks in my craw that Sanzar make these rules and then say, we're satisfied that the Chiefs have a strong enough team. Who are Sanzar to tell the Chiefs about their strength? Only a coach can make that call, surely.
Oh, exactly. And if you're brutally honest, you could say Colin Matangi is an open side flanker and we actually require Liam to play six or eight and there's the rub. I mean, you wouldn't be, telling other position. If you were saying, you've got a prop to cover fullback, you know what I mean? They're saying, it's just close enough, so let's just do it that way. I mean, it is ridiculous. I think he should be able to play.
Great.
I think the Stormers should be, they should be encouraging it because they should say, look, we've got nothing to fear. Just, your team's your team. We know Liam Messam. He's been a chief for all time. We know he's not a guy who you've brought in from Toulon at
right.
last minute, you
right.
know. Imagine if they did bring in Dwayne Vermeulen from Toulon. That'd upset me.
That would upset me as well. But here's the thing, so we get to this point where Sanzar say rules are rules, and a lot of people online have said this as well. Well, that's the rules, but that's why you have dispensations. A dispensation is there to get around the rules. Sanzar had all the power in the world, and Pat Lambie's another prime example. That's even more wacky. The guy's been injured playing Super Rugby.
That's weird, isn't it?
That is a wacky decision. Now, whether Pat Lambie's actually fit enough to play is another question. I don't think, personally, he is.
So you're saying Pat Lambie was a shark at the start of the year.
He was the captain of the Sharks.
You're named in the team, and then now he hasn't played enough games to qualify for playoffs.
Absolutely bizarre.
Four so, games, is it? That
four
you
games. Unless you are registered as part of the original squad. Anyway, it is what it is. Liam Messam not playing, but the Chiefs are in Cape Town. Let's stay there. A lot of people thinking that the Chiefs have the easiest run in the quarterfinals, Jimmy, but I don't know about this. And I thought Robbie Fleck's PR this week has been absolutely fantastic. The charge that everyone is levelling against the Stormers is you've played no Kiwi teams, you don't deserve to be in the playoffs. Robbie Fleck said, oh, woe is us, we've played no Kiwi teams. It's a great spin by Fleck.
Yeah.
To deflect all the attention on the Stormers and their rights to be hosting a quarterfinal.
Oh, Fleck, deflect. This is like Beat Poets Night. And you're wearing a cheese cutter cap as well. He's got the whole look going on. But I think that he makes a good point. You know, it's not to their advantage to miss lining up against these guys. The one thing I will say about the Stormers is they're a stacked team. Mm. They're the team that have done that classic thing, which I think you need in rugby, where you keep your four or five world-class players and you let the other guys go to Europe. But as long as they've got four or five, they know that the rest and there's potential world-class players as well. So let's list some of them, shall we?
Damien Dalendy.
Exactly.
Eben Weapon.
Eben Etzebeth.
Peter Steph Dutoit.
Yes, exactly. The new lock.
And Skalk Berger.
I know. Straight away, these are world-class. Khaleesi will be world-class.
The virus.
Exactly. Eventually, Khaleesi will. And so they've got that sort of like the group of players who can lift the team and provide something great for them. I think it's tough for the Chiefs and the forwards, even though we do have, you know, Brody Retallick, Sam Kane, all these, you know, emerging legends of the game. But I think the Chiefs have got the toughest task, tougher than the Crusaders.
It's like putting a Gaudi cathedral up against a post-Soviet brutalist council building, isn't it? I mean, that's the stylistic difference
it
between
exactly
these two
that.
Teams.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are going to want to counter-attack. The Stormers turn the ball over more than any other team, play a lot of footy inside their own half. It's almost as if their style is tailor-made for the Chiefs to pick them apart. But can they do that after failing to do that against the Highlanders?
I think the one thing that cost them against the Highlanders, and I hate saying this, but you know, just that last pass, whether it was dropped, whether it was just thrown a little bit behind the, you know, the supporting player, if they can connect and make those, because it was a great Chiefs game, you remember, a few years ago where they ran rampant and James Lowe, you know, with the tongue out or whatever he does, you know, when he scores his tries, he, you know, if someone like him can fire, if Cruden can dominate their inexperienced first five, because they've had to bring in someone to cover for Duplessis, I reckon that the Chiefs can do it. I just worry that, you know, with that much travel and up against the team that's been rested, with all those guys I mentioned, I just think it's going to be a tough one. But I'm only preparing myself for disappointment because, of course, I'm rooting for the Chiefs.
Yes, you are. You are. Let's stay in South Africa. Not so much in the same way that the Stormers have been challenged for their right to be in the quarterfinals, given the fact they were in that weakest South African conference, given the fact they haven't had to play a New Zealand side. And we know, and I don't say this with a hint of arrogance, that New Zealand teams have been far and away the best teams in this competition. But then you've got the Lions, and they are the great outlier of South African rugby. They are hosting the Crusaders.
Outlions.
They're the Outlions at Ellis Park. Or whatever it's called these days.
Have you ever seen Lions, by the way?
Live?
Yeah, like just like close to you.
Yeah.
In South Africa?
Yeah.
Because you're part South African?
Yeah, only the good part.
Yes?
Yeah.
What was your Lion experience?
Just Lions. They don't actually do much. I mean, you just drive past them and they just look at you.
Oh, see, I went to Kruger National Park.
And what did you see?
Well,
did you see one actually killing something?
No, I didn't see a kill. Yeah, I was hoping. I wound my window down. Come on, mate. No, it was early in the morning. It was before the Italy All-Whites game in Nelspruit.
Early in the morning.
Exactly.
And a lion gets its meat.
It's exactly what you're hoping. And so you're queued up. It's like a traffic jam at a national park.
Yeah.
And you drive through and suddenly the traffic stops and you're going, oh, here we go. And in front of us there's like a car full of...
Just explain to me the circumstances where you're in a national park driving and you've gone, oh, here we go.
Traffic jam. Just so annoying. And in front of us in this little Daihatsu was like three, four Italian fans just looking. Like, it's perfect for a rhino to prize open or something like that. But... and then that we pull over and a lion was running down the road, just trotting along. And it was amazing, right past us.
Big lion, male or female?
Male.
So the full Simba.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Unreal.
Yeah, Lion King or Son Of came trotting past. And then I thought, well, that's really good luck. You know, you see that once in a blue moon.
Yeah.
3 hours later, I was getting quite tired, almost fell asleep at the wheel in National Park.
Had the traffic eased up?
It had a little bit. I went down a little dirt track, because you can go all these little tracks. Four of them, four lions on a dirt road, just coming straight towards us. And then nonchalantly I know lions can be nonchalant. They just took off into the long grass and disappeared. And you went, ooh, camo. I mean, I don't know if I said those words.
But yeah, you thought them.
I did, yeah. I was like amazed and they were just like trotting off, and apparently
it's your own sort of born free moment, this, isn't it?
It was. And normally they sleep for about like 20 hours a day. They're lazy yeah. lions. Yeah. Yeah.
Elsa was the lion out of Born Free, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yeah, I think you're right.
Tear jerking. Producer Jose is nodding his head.
I think I remember it too, Jose. I think like it was one of those moments where you go on a school trip perhaps to see it. You know, you're packed with your mates and you think, yeah.
I actually just read the book and the sequel. Oh, not just, but when I was a kid, I read both of them. They had pictures and everything.
Oh.
It was amazing.
The sequel, yes, there was a sequel, wasn't there?
Great.
But I think I went as a school, on a school trip, and of course, you know, you just all restless and you can't, you know, you don't give a shit. And then suddenly lions capture you, and then half the class is crying by the end of it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a dead set tearjerker.
It is.
Let's get back to the footy.
Sorry, yeah.
No, carry on. You're on the Rugby Pass podcast. Yeah. Today is Thursday, 21st of July. We're preparing for the quarterfinals. We've covered the Stormers and the Chiefs, a little bit of administrative issue. Now we're at Ellis Park where the Lions, and I say this, they deserve to be the number one ranked team, quite frankly. But...
Well, they had to play the Sunwolves twice, though.
Yep. Yeah, but it doesn't matter. It's a stylistic thing.
More.
I like the way I just like the way they play. They beat up your Chiefs at home too.
Yeah, that was interesting there. I just thought, what are they doing? They're playing a different style. We haven't seen this. Yes, the Lions.
We saw it last year. We should have been ready for it. Yeah, and also your favourite man, Josh Strauss.
I mean, historically,
no longer playing, but
yeah.
I love the Lions. I really do. And here's why I like the Lions, because they basically say the rest of South African rugby can bite us. We're going to play this way. I love Elton Yonkies.
Yes. And I'm annoyed that Elton Yonkies has been slammed for his goal kicking because, I mean, let's be honest, there's a lot of first fives have never even stepped up to kick a goal in their life. Butch James, Stephen Larkham, I'm looking at you, who get the free pass, oh, World Cup winners, greatest of all time. And there's a guy who misses a couple of goals and everyone's up in arms. Just chill out, okay? It's more than that. If he's not that great a goal kicker, and there's a, you know, a few other people who might be able to step up, bring Percy back. I don't know. That's my...
I've got it. We need to talk about Richie. And it's a different Richie to the one we would normally be talking about at the Crusaders.
Oh, who's
we need
this?
To talk about Richie Mwanga.
Oh, yes, I do like him.
Well, yeah, you do, and I do too. But here's the thing. How many times have we heard the phrase, you cannot win Super Rugby without a world-class first 5'8"? Richie Mwanga is 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot win with a 21-year-old first 5.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that phrase is just ripe for the plucking. You know how
agreed.
Lots of things...
I agree with you, but that's the reality is he's 21 years old.
That phrase irks me. Like, for example, in the fog final, if there was no fog and the Hurricanes had won, then we'd have David Holwell winning the, Super Rugby
100%
title.
100% world-class.
I know, you're from Northland. But let's just be honest, we needed that to happen just so people could stop going, oh, you need a world-class.
We do, but I thought Lima Sopoanga was that story.
Well,
and then
was.
Everyone says, oh, no, well, he is world-class. Well, no one was talking Lima Sopoanga up at the start of last season.
No.
By the end of it, they certainly were,
that's
but not
right.
at the start.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. Mwanga hasn't got to the point where he is running the game supremely confidently. However, the Crusaders last week had the flu. Let's be honest, if it wasn't man flu, if it was proper flu, then that's pretty serious.
Yeah, it is.
Okay, so let's just assume it's proper flu. Then most of them would not have been in a state to really play. They're going backwards all day. That's no good for a first five.
No.
They couldn't even get out of their own. I've never seen a team or a Crusaders team not be able to get out of their own 22.
I totally agree with you, and not helped with the fact you've lost Sam Whitelock, you've lost Joe Moody, you've lost Andy Ellis before the game even kicked off, and now they've lost the money in Adolo. Can they win without their flavour player? The most vanilla side in Super Rugby had no flavour.
Yes, they can. Ndolo was probably a crutch for them because they needed him so badly. There was so many things revolving around him, the cross kicks, all that sort of thing, which is fantastic. But
is there a song that comes to mind when you think about how much they needed Nemanja Ndolo?
I really need you tonight. Ndolo's gonna start tonight. Ndolo's gonna start too.
Once upon a time they were passing the ball,
but now they've only got Havili.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe there's a better player that rhymed with that.
Havili was a tough one to rhyme with.
Yeah, I mean, maybe something now they've got someone else on the right would have been actually better.
Ah, you're totally right.
Who was on the right? McAlai?
Johnny Mathalai was. Okay. And then Johnny McNichol, I think. Johnny McNichol's the trump card.
Yeah.
A pasty white ginger battler.
Yeah.
Could be their trump card.
Like, now they've got an albino on the right. Yeah. But anyway, I
say the Lions win.
No, I think the Crusaders will win this one. I think Wanga has a chance, actually, to boss the game a bit. He's going to tell people what to do, where to go. It doesn't matter how good a first five you are, you need to run the game. And you need to say, Crotty, I need you to be here when I want you. And the rest of the time, just be, you know, mini Conrad or whatever you're doing or channeling. Thanks. Just got to...
What are you getting? Why are you getting delivered emails now? Yeah, the publisher has just delivered you an email. He's walked into the podcast and delivered you a printout.
Yeah. Oh, I just said, can you print it out? Because I can't look at my phone.
I see. Yeah. You've got detail. Well, we need to move on. Where are we going next? Tell me what game we're going to next. Because you're picking the Crusaders. We're going to move on from South Africa.
Let's move on.
I'm done with South Africa.
It's okay. Let's move on to Canberra.
Oh, do we have to?
We've got to go to Canberra.
Oh, I don't want to go to Canberra.
David Pocock's back. Powie is back. The Rhinos.
Powie's
in space.
Powie loves getting in space. Have they got anything else?
What you doing out there, man? So I don't know. He is in space. You often find him in space. He really does.
He closes down the space.
Oh, he does that as well.
He takes up the space.
Yeah.
Great over the ball, David Pocock. Great.
He's got a lot of ground control.
That's good from you, Jim.
Yeah.
What I want to know is, why are they so one-dimensional? Is it because Stephen Larkham is just so preternaturally boring that he has hypnotised this team as he put them to sleep? Bernie Larkham, no offence to him, but holy shit, mate, that guy is a wall.
Yeah.
There's nothing in there.
He's like when Henrik Stenson won the Open and he goes, yes, I am very elated right now. It's like, really?
That's exactly what it is. It's almost like he's Swiss.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Roger Federer. Yeah, I played some really good tennis today and no one can beat me. I'm the world's number one player. I'm really happy to have won another Wimbledon. You know, that's the way these guys are. I just think the Brumbies need some excitement in their lives.
I can't understand why they're not exciting, because he played an exciting brand of rugby back in the day.
Yeah, but he had so much around him.
Joe Roth.
Owen Finnegan. George Gregan. Owen Finnegan's great. Owen Finnegan, when he first came into rugby, they got a nutritionist in it. Owen was old school amateur.
Mm.
And the nutritionist sort of asked him, like, how many units of alcohol would you consume, you know, in a normal week? And he said, are we playing a game? And she said, yeah. And he says, oh, okay. Are we home or away? She says, well, let's just assume you're at home. He goes, oh, okay. Is it a day game or a night game? It's a day game. He goes, all right, one last question. How did I play? I love Owen Finnegan.
There's also Joe Roth, great player, very underrated, and the record holder for a long time.
He was.
Points and tries. Yeah.
No, that was a good team. That was a very good team. But they don't have that now. I mean, this Brumbies side is not that side.
No.
Has the potential to be that side, but they just don't play anywhere like that.
Should we talk about this side then, I guess?
Yeah, let's talk about the other side.
This side is, since I've got the printout, Stephen Moore and Scott Seo. So, I mean, let's be honest, the Aussie problems with scrum time, surely they're not going to have those. So my feeling is the only way the Brumbies can win is through suffocation, through the constrictor, the anaconda way, the classic pythons, which... David Pocock.
Are you just
possesses.
Naming snakes?
Yeah. Ones that I'm trying to think. You can't say, what's the one that does actually, the King Brown? That's a biter.
Oh, is it?
And the one that's the Taipan as well is a biter.
But sure, is only the boa constrictor a strangler, a constrictor?
No, anaconda strangles.
Does it?
Yeah.
Isn't that movie, though, the anaconda movie, didn't it bite or did it always kill its victims strangulation?
I thought anaconda was a strangler. It's a very heavy snake.
Jose, have you seen anaconda? Can you explain?
I think the movie was not scientifically accurate. So in that movie, the snake did all sorts of stuff. It bit, it strangled, it chased. In the wild, I think they just strangle and then swallow whole slowly over a couple of days and then just sort of go for another week. And then they start it all over again. Cycle of life.
It's really disappointing to know that wasn't based on science. But I think in a succinct way, Jose has pretty much just outlined the Brumbies game plan.
That is, swallow them whole. And just, if he said rolling maul, then he would have said it all.
Yeah.
Because that's the only way they can win it. Penalties, kick to the corner, roll that maul. But I think the Highlanders have, of course, too much class.
Yeah, you would think that. I worry about this game for the Landers. I don't know why.
It's a banana peel.
Well, it just goes against all my intuition about, you know, the good guys versus evil here, because this is what this is coming down to. This comes down to a restrictive, horrible line-out drive game plan against arguably the most staunchly frat house rugby team in the world. I mean, they're John Belushi crazy when they want to play footy, the Highlanders.
Yeah.
It's Animal House. And I hope that the good prevails.
They grew up in that culture.
Oh, goodness gracious. We move on to the final quarterfinal.
Yes.
James, this one at home for Kiwi fans, well, for Hurricanes fans at least. What is it with Canes fans? They're unbearable.
But no, but they're depressed as well.
Oh,
aren't they,
but they're superstitious. No one wants to talk about it. Mm. It's like, oh, and then we did power rankings this week for Rugby Pass. I've got Canes fans coming at me because they're not the number one team. It's like, what? Mate, your playoff record's appalling. What do you expect?
Oh, exactly. I mean, the weird thing is that they finally made it. They've got the, you know, well, they had the same advantage last year. And now this year what they're doing is they're sort of reluctantly celebrating, whereas I think you got to buy into it and just get, you know, get excited, don't you?
Do we need to have a moment for the minor premiership? Does it need its own special moment?
No, it's good that we don't.
You think?
Yes. Minor premiership's nothing, is it? You know, really?
Well, not in a competition that doesn't have a full round robin, I suppose.
No.
But doesn't it count for something? Your top dog, your top qualifier?
Do you get you do get something. There is a trophy.
They get a conference trophy.
That's right. There is a conference trophy.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean, but you mean all round, yes.
Yeah.
Look, that doesn't matter. What I want to talk about is Adi Savea is a beast. That's all I want to say.
That's a great subject to bring up because, as fans around the world will have known, there is a there are two camps in New Zealand right now.
Oh, yes.
There's the Savea camp. And there's the Sam Kane camp.
You can be in both camps.
You can have a foot in both camps if you want to.
You can tiptoe across at night.
You possibly can, or it's like a Venn diagram. You can have a Venn diagram.
Oh, I think I'll Venn those two.
Sam Kane and Adi Savea.
Well, as Dave Rennie put the other night, he said that, look, it's the main job of seven is to secure the ball, to, you know, hit those rucks, make sure that possession is, you know, there's continuity of possession, all those things. He said there's no one better than Sam Kane. So core task, core job. Obviously, Artie, you're just taking someone, you know, celestial being and just going, here we go.
Yes.
Close encounters, yes. Walking out in light, basically. And then out in the field and does some freaky stuff.
He does do freaky stuff. It takes me back to that whole idea of the camera time player in rugby. Artie is a camera time player. And he's not just a camera time player. But if you're someone watching at home, you will notice Adi Savea.
Yeah.
If you're watching at home, you won't notice half the shit Sam Kane does.
No, that's right. It is. Yeah, camera time is important. I mean, Reuben Thorne obviously suffered from that. But at the same time, I think that they're actually more alike than what you'd think. It's you wouldn't want to get hit in a tackle by Sam Kane, right?
Negative.
Same by Adi Savea.
Negative.
You know? They hit the hole pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Artie's a little bit next level at that, but I'd still back Sam Kane to sort of like score a nice try from 20, 25 metres if he was put in that position.
Hurricanes are going to beast the Sharks. I think the world can agree on that, can't they?
Yeah, I think the Hurricanes will win this one.
So while we're on the Adi Savea message, preach, brother, is this guy potentially competition MVP?
Arda, yes. I mean, if you have to go back and you say, who's your top guy, who's your Steph Curry from the regular season, then Arda is standing out. I think Dane Coles has been amazing, but he was injured at the start, wasn't he? Was he? For a little bit. Who else? I think it's amazing they've done it without Smith and Nonu. And even, you could say, Thrush and Franks.
Mm.
So, you know, Thrush and Franks. It does sound like I'm talking about something Russian.
Sounds like a great street
thrush
food.
Thrush and Franks.
Sounds like a great street food.
Come in. Try my
come
thrush
see my
and Franks.
Truck. I've got a thrush and Franks for you. Well, yes, please.
Yaks so much. I think there's, by doing that, by losing legends and then topping the comp, that says something to me that this is that they're made of sterner stuff. I think players like Corey Jane are underrated in terms of their leadership. I mean, I know he's a close mate of yours, but I know what he's like. He's a cheeky chap, but you look at the way he runs that back three. I don't think anyone does it better in rugby.
Look, I agree with you. I mean, you need a visionary out there, and he's that. Yeah. I mean, look, if you put a alphabet on a blackboard in front of Corey Jane, he wouldn't be able to pick the letters up. But you put him on a footy field, he can read the play. I mean, that's I can say that. I had to write his book. So, yeah.
But the thing is, that's the thing that I always find that that he's underrated like that. You look at the way that James Marshall is playing, I think is brilliant.
Yeah.
But you can tell that Corey Jane is quite happily just sort of making sure everything he is marshalling. Well, look, Marshall can just be Marshall.
I'm going to throw something out there. If Corey Jane had played the final last year, the Hurricanes would have won the game.
Yeah, probably right.
I know I can't be disproved, so it's a safe thing to say, but I truly and honestly believe that. And I say that for a reason, because in the local final, the ITM Cup Championship final, as soon as Corey Jane left the field, Hawke's Bay won the game by scoring a try on his wing,
yes,
where he was. He's fundamental to the Hurricanes.
He really is. I mean, it's exciting for them. They should be able to do it without the legends, without the pressure. You know, there was a lot of emotion in the air last year, and I think that now this year they can probably just go, all right, we've got a different captain. We've gone from learned, sort of like very much measured. This is Chris Boyd saying this, Conrad Smith, to old crazy ass Dane Coles.
That's right.
Chris Boyd didn't say that, but I'm paraphrasing. He's going, and the boys love him, and they really respect where he's coming from. So, you know, it's just there for them, isn't it? You know,
kind of is. So, what we've gleaned today on the Rugby Pass podcast, James McConey, is that you are picking the Crusaders.
Yes.
The Chiefs.
Yes. No. Possibly not the Chiefs.
You've got all Canes fan on it all of a sudden. Are you being superstitious? Are you just not wanting to say it in case you get hurt emotionally and spiritually?
I love the Chiefs. Now, let's just go Chiefs. Okay, yep.
So all the Kiwis.
I'm going all Kiwis.
It's all New Zealand semi-final for
but
you.
But we have established banana skin in Canberra.
We've established banana skin in Canberra. I've also established a personal favouritism for the Lions over the Satyrs.
Yes, so
that's me. I'm the descending voice.
Okay.
James McConey, it's been a real pleasure, mate. Thank you. Rugby Pass podcast done for another week. It's quarterfinal time in Super Rugby. Catch all the action. Rugbypass.com. Subscribe today.